Blog Talk Radio.
All you need is love.
We love the Beat Bugs. And Target is the only place you can find them and all their gear. Come join the fun and jam with us.
Love is all you need.
That's right. Got to give the people what they want. One of my favorite bumper tunes from my homeboys, actually, the OJs, for those of you, the few of you who did not know that. I just thought that was apropos for today's program. Well, let me back up just a bit. Screech. That's sound effects for a low-budget program. Send your donations to, no. In all seriousness, I want to thank everybody who have tuned in for taking the time out to catch another program of Progressive News Weekly. My name is Daryl Clark, and as always, we're here every Thursday from 6:30 until 7:30 to bring you news and information that's gathered, or we like to say culled, from around the world. And we truly do gather information from around the world, from coast to coast in America, and from time to time we'll go beyond the borders. I'd like to thank all my listeners from coast to coast. Too many to give a shout-out to this evening. I see the lines are beginning to explode, and I would suspect that's because of our special, special guest that we have forthcoming this evening, which ties back to why I said that bumper tune was so very, very important. You see, this is about giving the people really what they want, and that's what we need to be more about. Not here to preach or teach, just to hopefully enlighten and encourage and inspire, empower, and, well, at least to instill you to get involved and make a difference. You see, that's why I take the time out in gratis, week in and week out, to do what I do, because it's about progressive, positive change. This is news, as I like to say, for you, by you, and of you. And I say that because much of our programming does come, well, from you, our listeners. Either the topic and or guest is typically suggested by you. And so with that said, I continue to encourage you to send me those emails. You can send them directly to my email at Daryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, _CLA18 @ MSN.com. And I do truly appreciate those suggestions. This last few weeks, we've had some really, 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 really real winners. So if you haven't been going into the archives, you'll truly want to do that. And I know there are some listeners that may be new to Progressive News Weekly. So just to give you an idea of what you've missed in weeks past, we had Jawanza Kanjufu, and he was talking about one of his new books. He's one of my favorite authors. It's titled From Boys to Girls. And, of course, we know that Jawanza Kanjufu is the consummate educator, recognized internationally. We also had a guest that joined us just a few weeks ago, and I promise you, go into too much detail, but this brother, Kevin Porter, surely a remarkable mind, has written a book just recently, Angry Little Men, Hypermasculinity, Academic Disconnect, and Mentoring African American Males. So, if you are not catching the archives, you're really missing something for sure. I'm going to leave you with one more, just sort of a carrot to leave out there for you. We had Miss Lynn Lewis join us, Dr. Lynn Lewis, I should say. And Dr. Lewis was also an excellent treat. And her most recent book, and we were honoring Women's History Month when she was on with us, and she wrote the book, Don't Hate the Player, Learn the Game. And you can just imagine what kind of dialogue that was. So do tune in and join us as we move forward with our programming. For this evening, just in case there are a few of you out there that don't know who our special guest is tonight, I'll just let you know that it is the iconic and legendary Mr. Dick Gregory. And it's just always a joy when we have Dick Gregory join us for a couple of reasons. One, the obvious one, he is iconic. Literally, one of the few truly remaining civil rights activists that are still walking the talk. And so I'm just thrilled whenever Dick Gregory is on, and he always enlightens us with something new that, well, is unexpected. So it's always a treat to have him on. And then, well, the other reason is more personal, and that's because over the years, Dick has been such a wonderful supporter of Progressive News, and I want to say the beginning, actually, yeah. We've been on 8 years now. Got right in the mix with Progressive News to support the program. And in fact, for those of you who are local to the New Jersey area, New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, eastern Pennsylvania, well, and if you care to get on a plane or a bus or in your car, you can join us as well, because right here in Plainfield, New Jersey, Mr. Dick Gregory will be joining us live at the Plainfield High School. So for those of you who are local who haven't heard that, which I'd be shocked because it's the buzz of the area. It's everybody's talking, as that song goes. I believe that was Lena Horne. Mr. Gregory is going to be joining us here. And so that will be a treat, I can assure you. And he'll be joining us here in just a moment. So you can actually get a preview. And I'm going to check with Cecil to see how long he'll be on. We only have Dick for a short time tonight. So for those of you in this, in the area, you can get a treat. So I'll give you a little bit more information on that. And that information is he'll be at Plainfield High. And he will be joining us at Plainfield High School on April 11th, that's a Saturday, from 3 until 7. Just had to get that one straightened out. I don't want to give any bad information, have you coming in at the wrong time, because you definitely do not want to miss this. It's going to be part of a Black History celebration. And, you know, I've always said there's no reason to celebrate Black History only in February. So we're going to take a quick little interlude, and then we're going to come back with Dick Gregory. Hello?
Music. back on the air.
All right, we'll be right back with Mr. Dick Gregory. Welcome back to Progressive News Weekly. This is live radio. So, with that, these types of things happen, and I'm pleased to say, as I was just mentioning, we do have the iconic, legendary Mr. Dick Gregory joining us. And as I said, it's just such a pleasure to have Dick join us for more than one reason. Number one, he's iconic and he is legendary. He speaks truth to power. And I guess there's another selfish reason, and that's because Dick he's become more than a friend. I told him I've adopted him and the family, so I'm a part of the family, even though he hasn't totally accepted that. But I love this man because he's inspired me to continue doing what I do. We're talking author, civil rights and human rights activist, comedian, humanitarian, anti-drug crusader. Can I go on and on? Philosopher, a nutritionist, recording artist, and he even ran for president. I bring to the airwaves, without further ado, Mr. Dick Gregory. Dick, welcome again to another edition of Progressive News Weekly.
Yeah, peace and love to you, and happy, what is this? This is Holy Week for all the Christians. And again, let me just thank you because everything have changed now since your type of radio is on the air. I mean, before it was NBC, CBS, ABC, and they were just as vicious as Hitler and the Nazis was. You had no other way, and if you tried to come up with some other way, your close friend said you was crazy. And so now you got 45,000 radio shows, internet like this. And so the minute something happened, the minute that plane crashed the other day in France, about 40 minutes later, I had the names of everybody that was on the plane. And yet and still it takes this government 3 days. They said it was two Americans on the plane, but they didn't know who they were. What do you mean? You got a manifesto. That don't get on the plane. You get on a plane in Chicago. Everybody got on. That name is in Chicago. So what are they talking about? So these are the things now that you look at. Adel.
Yes.
One of the big companies to make automobile parts.
Yes.
Well, you know, General Motors, by law, cannot make automobile parts for their cars. Rolls-Royce, Adel got that. Okay? He was on that plane. So you mean to tell me 5 days passed before, and you still haven't said, you said it was a third person on the plane. The woman and her daughter was on the plane. She works for the company that deals with the major defense contracts. And so once you find out it's on the plane, then you start listening with a different ear. Wait a minute, what is this about? And in that area where it crashes, one of the richest areas in the world. Germany, France, Italy. the Alps. So when that plane takes off, you got four ways to go, north, south, east, and west. Except one way you can't go because that's a mountain. So all at once, the plane chooses the one with the mountain. Them folks, they're so wealthy in that area. And playboys and playwomen with big bucks come in. They got some of the best airports in the history of aviation. But the plane couldn't make it to that. And then the other thing is, when people get ready to commit suicide, they don't go to look for taking other people out. Now, if I work for Ford Motors and think I got a bad deal on the fourth floor, I might go up there and kill all them and kill myself. But I don't wait to commit suicide. Suicide is not so, you know, there's few states that if you had an insurance policy, they cover suicide. Why? Because you have to have had that policy for a year. And the medical folks and the people who understand this know when you contemplate suicide, you don't wait a year. So nobody's going to buy a policy for something they're going to do you when it comes to suicide. And so consequently, he gets on the plane and going to take everybody, people he don't know, people has never done it, people who's never made him mad. If you're mad at the plane people, you go into the to the airport and shoot their workers, shoot their managers, or go to their headquarters. So what's this crap about? He was contemplating, huh? And now everybody seemed to know it. They go to his house and they do everything, Sirhan, Sirhan. When they're accused of killing Robert K. went to his house and found all kind of notes he left, but nobody knew that. None of his friends knew it, huh? And so consequently, what they tell us do not make sense. For instance, I'm going to ask you a question, may I?
Come on, Dick.
Okay, if you and I was going to hook a bomb together and we had the technology where we could make it, but we couldn't get past the scanner if we had it complete, so you take a part and I take a part, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you get on the plane, where's the most likely place you're going to put it together? In the restroom?
Yeah.
The two of us, you go in, I'm right behind you, you leave the part there, huh? And we know where we can put it because we've been on planes especially to work out where. Then you go in and put it together, right? So if
yeah.
I know that, the FBI, Secret Service, so they got, sorry ladies, they film everything in that washroom, man, including your mama, your girlfriend, or your wife. They would be stupid if they didn't. And so they film everything in the cockpit. They know it's easy for somebody to put a drug on somebody, a woman star, right before you get ready to fly and meet you at the airport and say, man, today's my birthday. And let's have a birthday lunch. And put the drugs in your drink. So what are they telling us? And how can you get this out other than radio systems like this? And so and so consequently, everything that's said in the airport. You remember the two cops that was assassinated in New York City?
Oh yes, yes. Yep.
Now
over
just go back up when the show is over, pull up the pictures. The two of them were sitting in the police car straight up, right? How are you going to shoot two people and they don't move? Unless they was dead when you put them in the car. Two people sitting up in the car like they talking to one another. No. I know that. NBC don't know it. And let me ask you a question. Did you know those cops did not know each other? They didn't work as a team together? Did you know that?
I did not know that. No.
Well, not you. They got people all over the world think that was a team and they were sent there. Do you know the black guy that they said did that? You know, he said he went to his ex-girlfriend's house, remember? In Baltimore,
yep.
Right?
In Baltimore.
Well, now, let's say this. She lived 30 miles outside of Baltimore, but he didn't have a car. Okay, so how did he get to her house? Take a cab? And then don't you go and look at all cab drivers and do an investigation to find out how he acted in the car. Then he goes in there and he shoots her. He thinks she dead. But she wasn't. So we didn't have to waste no time once somebody called the police and 911. When she gets to the hospital, there's 20-some homicide cops there. How did they know to be there for her? How did they know how big this was, huh? Okay, then we find out later that he didn't have no car. He drove. I mean, he got a bus. You're going to kill two cops in America, and you're going to plan to go on a bus? So now, if you're going to kill two cops because you're mad about Ferguson and New York cop killings, then why don't you just kill two cops in the bus station in Baltimore, huh? Or when you go to New York City and to the terminal, why don't you kill two cops there? When you walk out in the street, why didn't you kill two cops there? Why did you go to this special place with no car? Because they was holding an exercise, the federal government, New York City and state. Huh? All that was filmed by helicopter. They was holding an exercise on how you deal with civil disobedience when it turns into a riot. Huh? The National Guard, the U.S. Army, the military, all of them was there, and they filming everything. Huh? So he goes, gets off the... and goes right across the street. He said, a black guy talked to him. We don't know if he was the police or what. He goes across the street and shoots them. And the reason they say they caught him so fast is because all them cops was there doing the exercise. In no time, they show the police what that he ran into the subway. Well, let me tell you what's wrong with that story. New York City subways have the best secured subway system of anybody on the planet. They don't film you after you. They start filming six blocks before there because me and you, you could let me off six blocks away. And so then he goes into the subway and he commits suicide. How come they ain't show no pictures? Huh? How come he didn't get pictures for committing suicide in the subway? And then so if nobody asked the question, if they just turn it on the news and they feeding that crap to you, where are you going to get truth from other than shows like this? And why you think that the government now is letting them put out all kinds of shows now? Because shows like this is telling them what they're doing. And then you hear somebody say, oh, God, man, last 2 weeks ago I saw something like that on TV.
That's real. Let me take a break, Dick. I want to let our listeners, because you've got our lines jammed up, as you always do. I want to take a break to say we're talking with the iconic, legendary Dick Gregory, who we've come to love, and this is a man that truly walks the talk. If you'd like to ask a question of Dick Gregory, you know the number, but for those of you who don't, it's 347-838-9142. If you happen to have dialed that number to get into this program, you'll simply press 1, and our engineer will take your name and we'll bridge you right in to be able to speak with Mr. Dick Gregory. Again, the number is 347-838-9142. And, Dick, you know, we're just trying to keep bringing it live like that. You know, something came to mind, and I think we talked about this on a previous show, but and I get emails, people sending me information. I just try to disseminate if it makes sense, and I can do my little research. I'm no, you know, where near where
you
are.
Well, you got to be careful because a lot of those come from the CIA and the FBI.
Yeah, okay. I want to ask about the Somalian. Remember the whole pirate thing? And yeah. I was reading something where they were saying they found, you know, toxic chemicals washing up. People have been dumping, and the pirates really were going out to protect their shore, and that it, truly where those ships were, they were really in territory of Somalia. What's your take on that? I know this goes back a while.
No. First, back up. Come on, let's lose God-given universal intelligence. Somalia, right?
Yes.
That country don't own 4 rowboats, okay? So how are you going to send people out attacking the mightiest navies in the history of the planet? Are you crazy?
Okay.
So one of them, they said it was 100 million gallons of oil. Do you know any black man on this planet that know how to sell 100 million gallons of oil?
Huh?
So what they going to do with it? So that's when you look at that, you say, wait a minute, there's more to this than that. Huh? It's more to this. So we get in and start doing the research. You heard the word booty?
Yeah.
You know what that means?
Yep.
That's the loot. That's
the loot
that the pirate takes from the ship.
Right.
It's called booty.
Yep.
Okay? Now, watch this. Right next to there is a naval base. Huh? Now, nobody told us that. One of the mightiest secret Navy bases in the history of the planet, America, leased that island called Diego Garcia. Huh?
Hmm.
Right there in the Indian Ocean. Now, watch this now. Diego Garcia. And write that down so you can punch it up.
You know I am.
Diego Garcia. And now what we're looking at now is we at least that it's named after a Spanish king, been dead 2,000 years, right? America leased that. That's where we took all the people before we put them in Guantanamo Bay to put them there, and so nobody can get blamed. We can violate all the human rights laws, but nobody know that's our Navy base. We lease it from Britain, huh? So now they got a big operation they're going to pull off, but Diego Garcia, the runway's not long enough, okay? So now they got to build a longer runway, and I'm going to tell you what the deal is that they pulled off. And so now, in order to do that, you got to bring ships in there. People got to see them working, bringing off stuff. Well, when you bring them ships in, nobody assumed you expanding the runway. They just think since all the pirates and stuff was there, that you doing stuff to fortify the place against the African pirates. That's when they was building the runway to make it longer. Nobody would suspect nothing. Now, if you punch up on your computer, you know, the missing Asian plane and put in Diego Garcia, they tell you it's here. It's right here. Okay? Now, who would believe America would be part of that? You see, I can say stuff because people have listened to me so long, they know my integrity. But I know one thing. Truth don't have to be validated by my mother's ignorance. Hmm? That's how they hide it. And another thing else, when you put here as light. You, me, most decent folks are the light, particularly black folks. We were sent here to heal the planet, and we joined it. Now, let me show you the reason the CIA and the FBI, people ask me, man, how come they haven't killed you? I'm light. Okay? And any time your light become afraid of darkness, huh, then you violated the universe. That's why the CIA and the FBI and Hitler and the Nazis could do all the stuff they do and all the stuff they still doing around the world. Because when your light becomes afraid of their darkness, then darkness rules. We go to New York today and go to this huge building, 6 blocks long, tonight, and open the door. It's pitch black. It's 10 million rats in there and 40 million roaches. All you got to do is turn on the lights and they'll run, man. That's the power of light, huh? What do they say when the plane wrecked? Well, we'll wait till daylight, right? Of course, daylight wipes out all darkness. And so, first thing you look for was who was on the plane. Well, we all know that, those of us who do research. There was 20 scientists on that plane, of which 4 of them had filed for patents that's worth $100 billion. Okay? Now, if me and my brother and your sister, if the four of us filed for a patent, and it was found in America because them scientists lived in Texas. They lived in Austin, Texas. Why? Because they was working for Boeing and I forgot the other, the Texas instrument, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So all at once now, you got patents filed in America because they live in America. They're from Somalia. They live in America. So when they filed them, you don't get the patent until it comes through, okay? So there was another party that signed with them, make four or five people, and that was the Carlyle Group. Hmm? That's Bush and them.
Mm-hmm.
So three days after the plane was missing, the patent came through. The law is if you dead or disappear, then those patents are not yours. So the only person who might have not got on the plane, it become theirs. That's Texas Instrument. And so then again, you start tracing and tracing and tracing. And that's where the plane landed. Man, don't you know they can trace a mosquito anywhere? It's like that crap. We get a new disease called,
Ebola?
East something. It come out of Egypt, they said. What's the big city in Egypt?
Cairo?
Cairo, no. East. Something, but it's Egyptian, okay? And so then when they said, well, it came out of there, I said, well, how'd it get out? Mosquitoes. Well, they don't have a plane in Egypt that make a nonstop from there to New York. How that mosquito know not to get off at the first stop? West Nile virus, remember?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's how stupid and ignorant they are. Point is when I let my light afraid of darkness, huh? The CIA, nothing but a bunch of thugs, man. Nothing but a third ungodly, unspiritual punks. You don't have to have them. You got a whole nation behind you to kill somebody. And so I woke up the other morning, and in the Washington, D.C. area, they talk about this black man that was in jail and in the hospital, and he broke away. He's running through the streets with nothing on but a hospital gown. Then the next bulletin said, he stole two cars. Well, wait a minute, man. Do you know how hard it is to just walk outside and know what car have a key in it? Then when we put that out there on the news show, then they start saying, he skyjacked. Two cars. And so when you listen to it and hear what they're saying, go back to Tavon Martin. You remember he went to the store and he bought Skittles? Remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what
mm-hmm.
the other product was he bought?
No.
Arizona what?
Oh, the tea.
The tea. Now, we're looking at a homicide that the whole world's tuned on. They told me more about what he bought at a jive store than they told me about the homicide. Huh? All right? And then they said the night that he was killed was also the night that the all-star, the professional basketball, that was their all-star game. Huh? And so everybody looks at the all-star game. Then halftime, they said he left, went to the store. And I said, okay, let me look at this here. Hey, Ralph, do me a favor. Get back to me real quick. On what time the All-Star game started. Tavon was killed at 7:17. The All-Star game didn't start till 8 o'clock. Halftime wasn't for 9:15. I know that in the New York Times. Don't know it. Come on, y'all. Huh? Huh? they didn't mention that they got the can. Where did the can go? Because if we're talking about a homicide and blood and other, how come I didn't hit you with a can? We don't know if you're not telling me about it, huh? Now, let's assume that I'm coming to your house and we're going to work on a book. And you live in a gated community, okay? And I come by, and you have to let the people know I'm coming. You have to let the people know if your mother or your brother's coming. Because one thing about a gated community, you have to pay extra money for the perks. And one of the perks is all the entrances in and the fence have cameras on them. So something that make this news, how come they didn't show us a picture of him leaving, going to the store, and coming back? How come we didn't see Zimmerman leaving and coming? That's why all I believe, I've always believed since I started looking at this, he was killed somebody else in someplace else and brought there. Something as simple as a camera, and you didn't see the pictures? Huh? And so that's what I'm saying. That's how they're able to drive us down to the ground. You familiar with the Groundhog Day, right?
Yep, February 2nd.
April 2nd. And if February. if the groundhog sees his shadow, what happens?
When he sees a shadow, he's supposed to get more...
Six more weeks of winter, huh?
Winter.
All right? I'm not asking you questions to prove something. I'm just saying so your audience can hear.
I know.
Six more weeks of winter, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you get a calendar and go to April the 2nd, spring don't come to March 21. Count February the 2nd to March 21st. That is 6 weeks.
You mean February to April to March 31st is...
Count it, huh? So we don't have to waste this time, huh? Count from February the 2nd to March 21st. That is 6 weeks. Groundhog ain't got nothing to do with it.
Are we that naive?
No, no. Let me tell you something. This is Holy Week, right? This is Holy Week.
Yeah.
And tomorrow is Good Friday, right?
Yeah.
Now, the day they killed my Jesus, they told me I'm supposed to call it a good day, and I don't question it. Good Friday. What's good about today? Unless it's something else. They're not telling us, huh? What's good about that day? What's good about the day they killed my mother? I'm calling it a good day, huh? Okay, now let's watch it now. If your grandfather died on June the 20th, right? 10 years ago, right?
That was
and
close.
And me and
Dad.
You were bosom friends, huh?
Mm-hmm.
And every year on the day he died, we go to the funeral. We go to the graveyard and put flowers out there, right? Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I'm walking you through this, and when I ask you that, it's not you, it's my grandmother that's out there listening, okay? That's the only reason I'm asking. I know where I'm going.
Okay.
So if we go on June the 20th every year, that's June the 20th, right? So Jesus was killed on Good Friday, right? So how come every year Easter come 1 year in April and another year in March? You can't be killed in two different months. That's all I'm trying to put out there for Grandma, okay? I said, wait a minute, Jesus. And I took the route that if he died on the 20th of June every year, it comes the same day. How come Easter don't come every year the same day? That's all I'm saying. It has nothing to do with Christianity. It got something to do with what these games they play and how easy it works. And some of us want to make believe, oh, no, no. You'd be surprised. They can dupe a whole lot of people. Easter Sunday, is that what they call?
Yeah.
Okay. So look, hold your hand up. He's killed on Friday. He rose in 3 days. Now count 3 days from Friday. That's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Okay, so how come it keeps coming on Sunday? It's called Easter Monday all over the world except America. All right? 3 days from Friday. If I bought $10,000 from you and say I'll pay you back in 3 days, that's Monday. I'll pay you back. So that's how they're able to do it. Not just everything of your life. So now, let's Easter determines Christmas. Christ is born 270 days after Good Friday. So if you add 270 across, you get 2 plus 7 is 9 plus 0 is 9. That's what the 9 months pregnancy is about. It's 270 days. The day your mother had you, we can trace back 270 days and know when she conceived you, okay? And so now, if Easter comes 270 days after Good Friday, and if Easter changed from year to year, then the date have to change from year to year. So why does the date change? Easter is just a Latin word. Easter means fertility. Easter comes 270 days after the first new moon, after the first full moon, after the spring equinox. And that's why it's called Easter Monday. So what is all this about? Well, it's a game they play, and they've been playing it for so long, we don't even think about it. We don't even think about it. Now, if Easter comes 270 days after Good Friday, if Christmas comes 270 days after Good, so if Good Friday comes a different time every year, then Christmas got to come. So Christmas can only come 270 days after Good Friday. It cannot come before December the 25th, but it can come as late as January the 6th. When I was a little boy, I know there's a whole lot of black folks never took their trees down till the 6th of January. If you count from December the 25th to January 6th, that's 12 days. That's what the song is about, the 12 days of Christmas. And they throw all the other stuff in. I don't believe that Christmas, I think something happens in your body. And so they can talk about a guy named, St. Nicholas. Well, who is jolly old St. Nick? You just ain't going to give me something that my mother feed me, and I'm not going to check it out now that my head has changed. Jolly old St. Nick was one of the richest folks in Europe. And every time during the for the Christmas, he give all his money away, not some of it, all of it. His name was Nicholas. He was because of what he did, they made him a saint, Nicholas. Santa Claus, who is Santa Claus? He was a chimney sweeper. In Europe, back then they didn't have gas and electric. He had coal, wood and coal, and it created soot. So they would go out and chill and clean the chimneys. So that's what they tell me, Santa comes through the chimney and bring gifts to the children. So those gifts he's bringing is something that keeps you young. Okay? And so what I'm saying is they give you just enough so you don't. When I was a little boy, all the black folks were saying, curiosity killed the cat. Did you ever hear that?
Yeah. Satisfaction brought him back.
Yeah, that was the slave master. The slave master. Because if I can stop you from being curious, you can't invent nothing.
You know, Dick, let me open the line one more time because we only got about 7-8 minutes. The number to call in is 347-838-9142, and the time just always flies when you're with us. And I look forward to seeing you, Dick, in town, by the way. I just want to put that out there. We're excited out here about you coming out to Plainfield.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm looking forward. We got a real special program ready for you. But the number is 347-838-9142.
And I know we're going to have a whole lot more time than we have here now. By the way, folks, out in the listening area here in Metro, New York, New Jersey, Eastern Pennsylvania, Philly, Dick Gregory will be in Plainfield, New Jersey, April 11th at the high school. And so you'll want to definitely get your tickets. Come on out. Catch Dick. You can give you a website real quick. It's www.pcdc-newjersey.com. And you can also send me an email if you're looking for tickets at Daryl, DARRYL_CLA18@msn.com. And so I'll look forward to that.
Suppose my grandmother, who don't know nothing about a computer, want to come. She don't have no place to get in touch with.
She can call 908.
There you go. We'll never forget that. A whole lot of people out there don't do computers.
Thank you, Dick. And I'd be remiss if I didn't thank you, because you're so right. I usually will give the phone number, 908-612-7810. Again, it's 908-612-7810. And I will throw a shout-out one more time. You'll press 1 on your touch-tone pad if you'd like to have a comment for Mr. Dick Gregory. And again, 347-838-9142 is the number that you're going to call. And boy, look at the numbers. Dick, can you take a couple questions?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Because they're blasting. I see we have someone here. See if we can bring him online right now. Okay, that's our 718. Who are we talking with?
718-749, that's the one?
Yes.
Hey, Daryl Clark, long story here.
Lawrence Story, one of our regular listeners. We thank you all the way from the Bronx. Are you up there still, or you're traveling? Because I know you travel a lot.
No, I'm right now, but I had to holler at my brother and you guys. How you doing, Brother Gregory, not Mr. Gregory?
I am fantastic, my brother. Peace and love to you
sir.
And the family.
It's always a pleasure.
One of the highlights was
co-hosting with Daryl.
Yes,
a couple of your shows. And,
what a blessing. What a blessing.
What an experience that was.
What's your question?
Let me say real quick.
I'm very happy.
Two things, if you don't mind. I'm very happy about you coming to Plainfield, and it's much needed, and it's going to be a gala event, and whoever don't come is going to truly miss.
I got to the back screening room. Getting it, your name and state. What's the state? Where are you calling from?
Hello?
Let me do this. We don't have much time. Give me the question, please.
Okay, the question is this here. On Selma, okay, I got some folks talking about nonviolence and violence. Right quick, the setup is you got two children, natural children, babies. They're sitting in a room. One slaps the other child. The other child, the child gets slapped, cries. Visually, he slaps the other child back. If there's a toy involved that was taken that created the thing in the beginning, it grabs it back, and before you know it, they all make up, and everything is fine. So why is that not the case with violence versus nonviolence? Why is it that your natural instinct to react, there's something wrong with that?
Well, they learn that at home. They learn that from the parents. You know, if you yell at your brother and sister, then they know you deal with that with conflict. And they got classes, conflict resolution. They learn that. When these children come here, the whitest, evil, Negro-hating redneck wasn't born that way. He learned that at home. And so that's where it happens. And if anybody taught the world something, they talked about nonviolence and and what happened when the brother freed India and all that they went through and all that Gandhi. They didn't tell you that in 1904 Gandhi led an army. King showed to the whole world, hear me good now, the whole world, we took on the mightiest. They do stuff to us they don't do to their enemies that they fighting, huh? Vietnam, huh? Koreans, how many Korean stores we got here? They was our enemy, huh? Not us, look what they did in Oklahoma to Little Wall Street. Went in and bombed all them black folks. His brother put Native Americans, Jews, Chinese together, and he alone was doing $100,000 a week. And then the white folks wanted part of him. He said, no, it's not for you. And they bombed him. And that's why it's called Little Wall Street. And so what I'm saying is that when you look at what they've done to us, the Tuskegee experiment, huh? And so what happened is that we went out and the whole world watched it. And a general named General Giap, that's how they beat us up in Korea. Mm-hmm. He wrote a book 35 years before Americans got there. And he said, give me an army that's willing to die, and I will destroy any army that's willing to kill. And so when we talk about violence, I mean, all them little pipsqueak countries we fighting, they don't even make matches, man. Huh? They don't make gas stoves. And they're taking on our tanks, taking on our planes. Huh? So what is that about? And so when you stop and think about the dinosaur, the meanest, vicious thing ever lived, some of them was bigger than mountains, huh? And where are they now? 2,000 years later. But what they don't tell you is when the dinosaur was here, the butterfly was there, the turtle was there, they still here, huh? And so all we did, unbeknown to us, during the 60s, the Civil Rights Movement, we were turtles. What's a turtle? Hard on the outside, soft on the inside, and willing to stick your neck out. And so what happened in Selma, I was there 50 years ago, I was there now. Mm-hmm. The only thing changed drastically, huh, was us. Mm-hmm. There was no fear there. I used to go down there every, the first week that we marched in Selma, me and my wife was there. We were scared. We knew we would die, but we went anyway. So if you walking down the street, when I was a little boy, when I was 9 years old, I hung out with some guys, wasn't scared of nothing. I was scared of dogs. Do you know I got bit 14 times? I was the only one in there because they can smell it. They can smell it. And so I can smell you, the odor that comes off you, okay? And they know we were scared. We came there. People brought their grandmothers, their grandfathers. I went there. I'm almost 85 years old, man. And no fear then like I had before. And they were just as nice. You know, cops would say, you care for some water? You care for anything? When they don't smell the fear. That goes for gorillas and everything else.
Is there an army now?
Huh?
Is there an army that don't fear right now?
No.
All the millions of blacks.
No. You're not hearing me. I'm not talking about an army. I said General Giap said, give me an army. He didn't say they wouldn't kill that's willing to die. Americans go to war and talk about, honey, I'll be back for that. That's what you think. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying with those soldiers there, they come in willing to die, not willing to be back home with their old lady for Christmas. That's all I'm saying. But we can't debate that. That's already been proved.
Right.
We can't debate if you go to the best colleges. You go to the best colleges in America, top of your class, stay out of trouble, you get well. President Obama done proved that. You ain't going to get nothing. Huh? They treat him as if he was a third-grade dropout, can't read or can't write, and on death row, okay?
We're going to pick up on that, Mr. Gregory, when you come to town. I have another caller. Thank you, Brother Lawrence Story.
I look forward to seeing you guys next week.
All right. I got another caller here. We have Minister Michael, who says that he knows someone that you know, Brother Dick.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Michael, how are you? God bless you and the family.
God bless you as well,
thank you.
Mr. Gregory. My name is Brother Michael Muhammad. I'm the student representative in the city of Plainfield of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan.
Yes, yes.
And I spoke this afternoon to Brother Akbar, who will be in Plainfield in attendance the very same day that you come.
Well,
and he's anxious to look, and he actually told me he was attempting to contact you, and he was looking forward to seeing you. And I just wanna be a testament, a follow up testament to your statement about the light.
First, just tell him to call Daryl. Tell him to call Brother Clark. He has my wife's number.
Okay, I certainly will.
Yeah,
I certainly will.
Now,
and
let me
say something before you
finish that. Almost a month and a half ago, there was killing of Jews in France. Remember that?
I remember.
And 1.5 million people came out, okay? And they said the largest, no. The Honorable Minister Farrakhan brought out 1.9 million people, and he just asked men to come, okay?
That's right.
And
that's right.
They didn't rally behind that because there was a tragedy, huh?
Ooh, that's right.
They came because one man's voice is loved
right.
and respected, not just by a Muslim.
That's right.
He comes to town, and you might have more non-Muslims there. Listen, I was born and raised a Christian. I had no choice.
Right.
I had no choice. And I've never watched black Christians listen to someone who they wouldn't. They ain't no way in the world you can make my mother and grandmother be a Muslim. But they heard the Honorable Elijah's voice, and they stopped eating pork. Huh?
That's right.
They minister couldn't get them to stop doing that. I mean, these are people that argue with their children about doing drugs. Let me tell you black folks something about drugs. More you black folks die every day from strokes from eating pork and barbecue. No, listen to me.
That's
then
right.
Die in 10 years from crack. The OD death, huh? And the reason you can't stop because you hooked to it. You try. You don't want to die. You don't want to leave your grandchildren. What about those drug addicts, huh? You can't stop eating pork. You can't stop smoking. You can't stop drinking. But somebody called me on a show and asked me, what do I think about young blacks walking down the street with their pants below their booty? I said, I can't answer that. Why? Because I drank a fifth of scotch every day for 30 years.
Yeah.
And you know how many times I drove drunk? Driving drunk is a felony. There is no law about me walking down the street with my pants. The mob don't walk down the street with their pants. These cops that's beating up on these black folks in chokehold, they don't have their pants below their butt. Get over it. Thank you, baby.
All right. Thank you, Minister. We appreciate
that.
We have one more call, Dick, in about 2 minutes, and we're going
to
bring on from New York, Ronald Crenshaw. We got about a minute, Mr. Crenshaw, and I welcome you back. You're a regular listener. What do you have for Mr. Gregory?
Yes, thank you for having me on. Yeah, I just wanted to ask him, how did you feel about this certain rash, continuing cops murdering innocent black people that have no weapons, and how district attorneys and governors are reticent about the obvious sense of murder.
Well, we ain't got but a minute, so if you're going to talk the whole minute, then I don't mind listening, but I won't have time to answer.
I'm finished.
Okay. Let's say you are white, right?
No, I'm black.
I didn't say that. Wait. I didn't say that. I said, let's say you were white, okay?
Oh, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Living in New Jersey, and you the prosecuting attorney, right?
Right.
All right. And you got to go every 4 years to get elected, right?
Right.
And you live in an all-white neighborhood, right?
Right.
You know you can't get elected if you prosecute a black for a white crime. You know you can't get elected if you take a white cop that had killed a black person. You know that. So in order to change that, we have to figure out how do you get around that, because that's human nature. Here's a white prosecutor. He got to watch out for his job. He got children he got to send to college. He got house notes he got to pay. Huh? So that's the first part of it. The second part is I'll be 84 my next birthday. I've been all over this country. I've never talked to a black man that told me about a white racist cop taking his nightstick and hitting his car. Now, that's what you should do for a week. Just ask black men, how many times have a white racist cop? None. Because they know they're in trouble if they hit my car. Just like if they go in a white neighborhood and kill five dogs, they might get the electric chair. And so anytime I call my black woman strong, you're a strong sister, but say, come outside to you and look at my beautiful car. Anytime my woman is strong and my car is beautiful, I've never heard a white man refer to a white woman as strong. So then what's in our head? Huh? What's in our head? My mother told me that Santa Claus was a white man, and she bought the toys. The Klan didn't tell me that. Evil, hating white folks didn't tell. My mother told me that. Huh? So then when do we look into our head and start finding out the stuff that's there that we're not even aware of? And another thing I'll leave you with is we're the only people in the history of the planet, black Americans, that went through what we went through. All of that. And then we opt for education.
Right.
Over liberation. When George Washington was beating up on them white boys, he wasn't beating them up for the right to build a college. He was talking about being liberated. The song said, give me liberty or give me death, not give me education or give me death. So we have never been liberated. That's what the problem is. We've never been liberated. And so that's what the whole, when we understand this and understand the power of liberty, you look at them police stuff. Let me tell you something that we do. 91% of all white folks that was murdered last year in America was murdered by white folks.
That's right. Yes, you're right on that.
79% of black folks that was murdered last year was murdered by they white on white crime bigger than mine, but they give me black on black crime, but I don't hear them talking about white on white crime.
See, right.
If we was in China tonight, who you think killing Chinese in China tonight? Chinese. We in Italy tomorrow, who you think killing Italians in Italy? Italians.
Right.
You kill where you live.
Right.
And so once we change that around and look at that and then see it, then things change. And we got some good things happening now because of the integration of schools. You got white folks went to school with me. So they know we don't all stink. They know we not all dumb. And when you look at this stuff that's going on in America today, that's them white folks. Now they listen to black stories, they listen to black radio, and they hear things, and now they know they've been lied to. Okay, that the governor of when he got hung up in that gay stuff yesterday and said, my own son signed a petition asking me not to do that bill. Where'd they learn that from? He sure didn't learn it at home. He might have learned some Klan stuff at home, but he didn't learn that. And so that's what happened when you let your light shine. Thank you. Y'all have a good Easter holiday and love and peace. And thank you, Brother Clark. Look forward.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Gregory. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Darryl? Darryl, are you there? Mm-hmm.
Hello.
Bugs rock! Did you know you can only find their gear at Target? It's true, so hurry over! We love the Beat Bugs, and Target is the only place you can find them and all their gear. Come join the fun and jam with us!
Love is all you need.